All right. Well, let's go ahead and get started. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you again for joining us on our IL conversation, Inclusion of Veterans. If you need access to cards for today's call, please go to the APRIL website at www.aprIL-rural.org. You can follow the link on that homepage. If you're having trouble accessing it, please email me at mary.olson@mso.edu, and I can send you the link. Today's call will be recorded thanks to Bill and Gil, and the audio recording and the transcripts will be available online at our website under the IL Conversations tab following our call. This is where you'll also be able to find information about the contact information for our speakers if you'd like to get in with them later. During today's conversation, if you would like to add to the topic from your experience or ask questions, please press star 2 on your phone to raise your hand so that I can make your line live. And then after you ask your question, if you can push star 2 again, that lowers your hand. If you're using CART, you can type your question in the box, and we're going to do our best to get that answer and to voice it. Please remember to evaluate our conversation on our website following the call under the IL Conversations tab or from the email announcement you may have received from April or ILRU. Sorry about that. Your feedback is really important to us, and it can only make us stronger as an organization. This IL Conversation was brought to you by the ILNet, which is operated by Independent Living Research Utilization, or ILRU, in partnership with NICL and APRIL, and the Utah University Centers for Persons with Disabilities. Support for this IL conversation is provided by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Community Living. No official endorsements of the Department of Health and Human Services should be inferred. And without further ado, I'd like to introduce your presenter. Sarah Launderville is the Executive Director of the Vermont Center for Independent Living and the co-chair of the NICL Veterans Subcommittee. She has been involved in IL since 1997 and has a psychiatric disability. She has a master's degree in organizational management and leadership from Springfield College and has 3 children. Mark Derry is president of Eastlake Derry & Associates, an accessibility consulting and training firm based in Morgantown, West Virginia. He currently serves as the vice president of the NICL and co-chair of the Veterans Subcommittee with Sarah. Mark has been involved with accessible design in the built environment since 1982 and is a prior service veteran for the U.S. Air Force. Over the years, he has been a program manager for SCIL and chair of the West Virginia Silk, and served 16 years on the NICL Governing Board. He has served on 3 committees at the U.S. Access Board and recently finished a 7-year DOD project called Inclusive Recreation for Wounded Warriors through Penn State University, teaching more than 800 recreation program managers at military facilities worldwide how to make their programs accessible to all. So thank you for agreeing to facilitate our calls today. And without further ado, please take it away.
Thanks. I appreciate that great introduction, Mary. This is Mark Derry, and I'm happy to be here today and to start off the call. I'm really looking forward to this conversation. I appreciate April and ILNet and the list of folks who make this call possible. I really appreciate the opportunity because we are trying to, both April and NICL, grow this effort of this subcommittee concentrating on veterans issues and really reorganize, re-energize the effort at centers and in the IL movement, making sure that we're including veterans as we're providing services and support in our communities. To veterans that are just being discharged, as well as veterans who've been around for a while, like myself, I'm a dinosaur, but we've got, and I'm used to old bad services and how they were delivered. And so my passion is making sure the newer services are better than the old. on the other hand, we have new veterans becoming involved in the IL movement who are bringing awareness of brand new issues that have never been brought forward before by veterans that are now at the forefront. PTSD and TBI related issues come right to mind. And so, as well as chemical sensitivity and other things that in the past haven't even been brought to the forefront. So that's one purpose, and there are many. Historically, this subcommittee has been doing a great job. Steve Tobson and John Johnson in the earlier years before 2014 did an awesome job of putting this subcommittee together, getting it up and running. Early on, an MOU, a Memorandum of Understanding, was established between the VA rehab folks, folk rehab folks, and April and Nickel. And that was an early accomplishment by the group. They were getting organized and doing things like surveys of centers to find out who was providing services out there in the country at our centers, and what was being provided or what wasn't, or what was being done well, or where we could do more. We only had about, well, we had about 25 centers that responded to that survey. And so we've done that again, and Sarah will talk about that in just a few minutes, and bring you up to speed as far as what we've done on the survey in our new efforts to get this subcommittee up and running again. Time has passed since earlier years. Steve Tobson and John Johnson have stepped aside in years past. There was a bit of time that went by where we hadn't gotten it up and running as well as we liked, and we're giving it another whirl now. And in the last year, I think we've really made some progress. So I'm really excited that we're back here and making a comeback with the subcommittee and having this conversation with you all today, because we not only want to report to you, members and colleagues, what we've done and where we think we're going, but we also want to invite folks to become involved, and we need input from our memberships to give us direction on where they see us going with this subcommittee, and then involved with it and help us get the job done. There's much to do, and the picture gets a little bit clearer when you start accomplishing things like surveys and conversations. So this is the beginning, and I'm very excited about it. I hope that we get an opportunity to hear from additional folks as far as what's happening out there. Let us hear of any successes or also things that you're starting up or things that need improvement in your communities too. All of these things we can bounce around during this call. I'm really looking forward to it. So I'm going to break off now and pass it on to Sarah. But before that, if anybody has questions, hopefully I didn't go away. I didn't go into the structure of the subcommittee, or it basically is a group of folks with a passion for veterans issues that are there to advise the boards of our respective organizations on what our positions are on policy and legislative stuff that's happening in Washington, as well as what we think the needs are at the Centers for Independent Living at the grassroots level, that can be filtered back information-wise through our channels at Nickel and April to our member centers, so that better services are happening in the community. And so the subcommittee is really important. The board listens to what the subcommittee's recommendations are and takes action as a board, and there's a lot of power in that. So it's really important that we stoke this subcommittee and keep on going. This survey is probably our first big goal, but there's many more to set. So if anybody has questions as far as why we're here, we could touch on those, and Sarah is up to bat.
Great. Thanks, Mark. And thanks, Mary, and all of you who are joining with us today. And thanks for framing the work that we do on the subcommittee. It's been a great honor to serve with you as co-chair over the last year. And I just wanted to shout out to Billy Altham and Kelly Buckland, who have been instrumental in helping lead this charge as well. So thanks for that. I'll just say, if you want to join on our call, we meet the third Monday of every month at 3:00 Eastern Standard Time, and our next meeting is this coming Monday. So if you're energized and jazzed up about what we're working on, you could send me an email. And I think, Mary, I'm not sure if my email's on the list, but maybe we can just get it out to folks, and then we'll get you signed up to be on our calls and our email list. So as Mark said, we decided in our regrouping of the subcommittee to put out a survey to the IL community. We started with surveying executive directors to get input to help us decide what direction our subcommittee would take over the coming year. So this afternoon I'm going to go over some of the results of our survey, and we're going to be posting these results both through April and Nicole, so you don't have to sit here and take a bunch of notes about what all of our results were. I just want to help it in terms of framing our conversation today. So we wanted to get a sense of how centers are currently working with veterans. And so we had 33 directors from across the country respond to our survey. And we found that from those respondents, when we asked how you're working with veterans now, 100% of our respondents said that they work with veterans through our information and referral. 54% reported that they work through peer-to-peer work, and 36% identified working with veterans through nursing home transition. And we had 7% identify that they were working with veterans through their youth transition programming. So we've had a lot of respondents say, yeah, our regular core services is how we really connect with veterans right now. And we also do that through skills training, through advocacy, housing, home and community-based services. We saw some respondents around employment, socialization, assistive technology connection. We heard from some around farming with veterans, different retreats that happen. Some centers are right now working with Veterans Administration around helping folks determine financial eligibility for different programs. We saw some respondents around court protocol and a lot around outreach activities. So some CILs cited that they have made an effort to include veterans in leadership capacities, including on their board of directors and on their staff, and making a real effort to reach out to the veterans community to fill some of those roles. So we asked if CILs are tracking through data collection if they are working with veterans, and 45% of the respondents said yes, and 55% said no. So we went on to ask, you know, what would help you as an executive director of a CIL when working with veterans? And I'm just going to go through some of those responses. One was, you know, resources was the number one thing. So as we looked through all of these different respondents, folks were saying that we need financial resources to offer more of what our CIL is already doing around core services, around outreach dollars, that we can help connect directly with veterans, you know, and hire staff people that can really work on some of the issues. And a lot of respondents really said we want to hire somebody who is a veteran who can work peer-to-peer with other veterans with disabilities in the community. Other respondents said resources for veterans directly, including more housing opportunities, more counseling opportunities, and connection to medical and other benefits. We heard one respondent stated a general website with all resources and services available throughout their state would be helpful. And I wanted to comment that the World Institute on Disability had a great effort and put together an excellent resource of a website. It's vets101.org. And I was just communicating with Brian McDonald today, and he says that the website has recently been put on hold because they need funding to keep that site alive. So if you go there right now, it says that there's been a pause in that, but I'd love for us to really talk about at one of our groups around how can we get that site back up and running and really connecting people to resources that are out there. Another respondent said better relationship with local Veterans Administration. We've had lots of conversations within the subcommittee. Actually, I think every single month we talk about the Veterans Administration on some level. There is a MOU that Mark referenced earlier between Nickel and April and the Veterans Administration VR services around working together. And that MOU also is connected through our NICOL website. We're going to make a lot of resources available through this talk, and Mary's going to help us get those up on the April website as well, so folks can take a look at the existing MOU and see if that's something that we want to pursue. At this point, we put some of that on hold in the subcommittee work, but through this survey tool have seen a lot of people really referencing that back. Other folks said that the VA's military bureaucracy when it comes to the connection to personal attendance services was an issue, and they'd like to see that worked on. Resources for working within the Veterans Administration system and navigating the VA healthcare. Other directors said training of CIL staff on what benefits and resources are available for veterans would be helpful. Another one said establishing a partnership with the VA. Another response was ideas on how to conduct effective outreach to veterans, VA reimbursements for services CILs provide, and ideas from other CILs on how they work with veterans. And hopefully we'll get a little bit of those started today with this call. Of the respondents, 65% stated that they are not working with the Veterans Administration right now, and 35% said that they are working with the Veterans Administration. And so we wanted to dig a little deeper, and we asked what the relationship was like with the VA for those who were responding. And 12 of the respondents said in some capacity that the relationship was either good or great or wonderful. And a couple had no relationship with the VA. But there are a few comments that I'll just read out what their relationship is. And one said, when our current staff go to the VA for appointments, they try to walk around the campus and educate people, but no one seems to have a clue, and turnover is high. The updated information on the VA webpage is better, but we feel it's still confusing to most veterans. We know that veterans-directed care means they don't, and they're supposed to talk to their social worker about needs, but social workers don't know what's available. Another respondent said, all the rules for a federal program, such as available and unused housing vouchers, not being able to be transferred out of particular geographic area because of state lines, makes no sense. Another respondent said that their relationship was pretty collaborative, but it is really it's a tough entity to really break through. And they also sit on the Disability Awareness Task Force, which is a community collaborative that they created 15 years ago. And the last respondent said, our local VA is a mess. VA staff can't even tell us who we should be talking to in order to educate their Then we asked CILs who were working with other veteran programs, and we got about a 50-50 response of yes and no to those. And the types of programs that they were working with were either county veteran offices, state VA programs, health clinics, Wounded Warrior Project, Operation Never Forgotten, Disabled American Veterans. And we saw some other peer support programs, like in Vermont we have Vermont Vet to Vet, and in Wisconsin they have a group called Dry Hooch. So we asked what should our subcommittee be working on in the coming year? And as we move forward in our conversation, I'd love to hear feedback, as Mark said, from folks on the phone today, about where is our subcommittee should put our attention as we move towards, we have the NICOL, the National Council on Independent Living Conference at the end of July while we're in D.C. working on advocacy issues, and then the ongoing work of our subcommittee. So a few respondents talked about strengthening relationships between the Veterans Administration specifically and Centers for Independent Living. Others included funding to support staff who can work with veterans, a way to identify veterans in their reporting systems, a way for local VA to have an understanding of the April MOU, and someone asked for more ideas and descriptions on other programs. So I just want to say, like, to all the folks that are on the call that participated in that survey and had some connection to it, so thank you for that, because it really has helped kind of frame, here's some of the stuff that we know needs to happen. We had some understanding of that from the folks who are on our calls, but this really helps frame that in a whole different level, so I appreciate that. What we thought we'd do is open it up and hear from some of the programs that are happening across the country and how CILs are currently interacting with veterans. And I thought we could start by putting Tom Yossman, who works here in Vermont, as our agri-ability specialist, about some of the work that he's done around the Farmer Veteran Coalition, and we'll go on to some other examples. And if you're thinking, boy, I'd love to really talk about my example, then raise your hand and Mary can get you in the queue to do that next. So I'll turn it over to Tom.
Great. And as I get Tom unmuted here, again, if folks have questions or if you have anything that you would like to add to the conversation, please just push *2, and that will raise your hand, and we'll call on you, and we're excited to hear from everybody. And I'm just searching for Tom here. Tom, would you mind pushing *2? I'd appreciate it.
Me?
Oh, sorry. I meant Tom. I'm just looking for him, his number. I apologize, folks. I'm still learning this fancy new system. I think I have him.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. So am I on?
You are on.
Good. Thank you. I'm Tom Yachtman from Hyde Park, Vermont. I work for Vermont Center for Independent Living. Sarah is my executive director and my immediate supervisor. I was hired 7 years ago as an agri-ability specialist, which means I work with farmers that have disabilities that want to continue farming. We have grown that program throughout the state. It was a USDA grant. We partnered with the University of Vermont Extension Service. That grant went away this year, and Sarah was able to fund us to continue the AgAbility project through our relationship with the 704 DOOR and working with anybody with a disability, and that's what I do as well. So I will tell you that I'm a farmer. I have a disability, a physical and a mental disability. I still have a farm this day. I really enjoy what I do. Several years ago, went to the National AgAbility Workshop in Indiana and met Michael O. Gordon, who is the national founder of the Farmer Veteran Coalition of America. I was impressed with his program. I brought it back to Vermont saying that this was really a good thing to do for veterans. And my interest there was the veteran that came back with a disability. And by and large, most of them do come back with some type of disability, so they fit right into our independent living center. We were able to grow a relationship with the Farmer Veteran Coalition out of Davie, California, and begin to be apply for a state chapter of the Farmer Veteran Coalition. And was accepted this last November, along with four other states in the country. Right now there's four chapters, state chapters. The benefit here is the mission is to beat America by mobilizing veterans to do that. And, you know, there's not a better work source available to the farmers and the farming that the farmer, the veteran, is a well-disciplined, well-controlled, hard-working individual, and it's just natural that they should come into the farming community to replace the old retiring farmers, which the average now is 56 to 57, and I have exceeded that, and I'm looking for the young farmer to come in and replace me, hoping it's a veteran. Joking, of course. Don't get excited, Sarah. Anyway, so we do have this, and what we're doing, BCIL has had in the past two different field open houses in the last year, where we've invited farmers with disabilities, individuals with disabilities, veterans with disabilities, and brought in vendors that showed all the different assisted technology devices that are available. We've had programs along this. So now, because we have a state chapter there, the national is offering us a program to pay for that in the coming year. We can do two more year, which is exciting because this gives us good outreach to the community and lets the community know what BCIL is doing as a whole. So that's where I'm at on the Farmer Veteran Coalition. I'm sure I've skipped over 100 things, and Sarah's going to remind me what they are. So if I have, if there's any questions, I'll be glad to try to answer them.
This is Sarah. So one of the things that I just wanted to mention is that this coalition really grew from veterans who Tom was working with in peer-to-peer support. So it was a group of folks who had been learning about independent living through peer-to-peer support with Tom and then said, we really want to do this. And that's how all of our IL stuff really gets started. And I'm so proud that that's how this particular coalition got started too. And so those members of the coalition, that whole entire board of directors, the executive committee are all peers, all people that learned that from our IL network here in Vermont and then grew from that. So proud of the work that Tom's been doing.
Oh, sir, I didn't mention that I was a veteran farmer and sorry about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Mary, I know that there was someone else. I think, was it Sharon Washington who might be on the call that wanted to talk, or that we were asking to talk about her program as well?
Yeah, that's right. And Sharon, are you there?
I am here. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Sharon, would you mind just a little bit about your program and what you do?
I'd be more than happy to. My name is Sharon Washington. I am the housing specialist with the Blue Water Center for Independent Living. My executive director is Jim Whalen, and we are located in Port Huron, Michigan. For the last three consecutive years, we've been fortunate enough to partner with the Veterans Administration to provide the program itself is called Project Home, and what we do is we provide rapid rehousing for veterans who are homeless, and we also provide homelessness prevention assistance for veteran families who are in the midst of being evicted or have received disconnect on their utility bills. We are providing this service in the SUM area, which includes a 7-county area. We are currently in St. Clair County. We also have subcontractors located in the city as well as Macomb and Oakland counties. Our program requires that we serve 175 veterans in a program year. We found that we can easily meet those numbers. There are five core services that the program is designed to provide. Our goal is to assist the veterans with linking with the VA if they come in for intake and they're not currently registered with the VA locally or nationally. We assist them in that endeavor. We also assist veterans with making referrals for legal assistance. We also have a program component that also provides computer and financial literacy assistance if need be, and as well as medical needs. Any veteran who has been discharged with anything other than a dishonorable discharge is eligible for the services. We provide $1,500 for veterans and preventative assistance, and if a veteran is homeless, we provide $2,500 of rapid rehousing assistance, and that typically includes the security deposit and the first month's rent and any fees that the landlords may require. We are looking forward to continuing to provide the services to the veterans. We also do a tremendous amount of outreach. Staff members also belong to the local Port Huron Housing Commission subcommittees. We also belong to our local community mental health authority subcommittees and landlord associations. One of the things that I also do, in addition to providing the services, I actually do actively recruit landlords to participate in the program. So that if a family is in desperate need, it's always nice to be able to know which landlord you can go to provide rapid rehousing so that there are minimal risks to the families staying out on the streets. I actually am certified to do quality of life housing inspections. That's one of the things that the state of Michigan requires and provides annual training on so that, you know, we don't theoretically provide what we call cold inspections, but we actually go in and make sure the lights are working and that there are the plugs work and that the toilet flushes and that it is habitable for the veterans. I think that pretty much covers it. I'd be happy to entertain any questions anyone might have on the program.
Thanks, Sharon. That's wonderful. I wonder, Mary, anyone on the call that has any questions or comments or wants to talk about their program?
Yeah. Well, I have one right here. And, again, if you have a question or comment for any, just press star 2, not raising your hand. All right, so Leslie, your mic is live. Hello? Did you still have a question? Maybe that was an accidental hand raise.
this is Tony Delisle. Can you hear me?
I can.
Hey, I'm Tony Delisle. I'm the executive director for the Center for Independent Living of North Central Florida. We have a 16-county catchment area. I formerly worked with the VA at the Center for Innovation for Disability Rehabilitation Research, CINDR. It's a COIN in the VA, a Center of Innovation. So I am very eager to figure out how we can do some institutionalized collaborations between the VA and Centers for Independent Living. And I'm probably preaching to the choir here when I say there is a lot of work that needs to be done to service our veterans. And as big as the VA is, it is not big enough to meet a lot of the challenges that our veterans are coming back with. So I am so excited you all are having this webinar. I'm excited to pick the brains of everybody on here and learn more about the subcommittee. I'm partnering with that center that I came from, and there's some great colleagues over there and potentially on the phone today that are very eager to figure out how we can do institutional-level types of collaborations between the VA and Centers for Independent Living. And what we're, you know, what we're proposing to do through HSR&D is to figure out, well, to what level and extent are veterans utilizing the center, and that's what it sounds like your surveys are going to, you know, have gone towards. But also, what kind of programs are they using, and what kind of programs would they want, but perhaps we are not offering to the veterans to meet their needs? And so how can we scale up to go about and do that? Your last speaker there on the housing, I would love to learn more information about the housing. But I'm basically calling here to just let you all know how enthusiastic I am for this effort. I'm glad you guys are rebooting this effort, and I would love to be a partner in this effort along with my colleagues who work in the VA with the Center of Innovation to make this happen. So basically, I'm just giving comments versus questions, and just saying how exciting this is, that it seems like we're developing some capacity in this direction.
Thanks so much, Tony. That's wonderful to hear your thoughts and comments, and hoping that you or someone from your center can join our call Monday or maybe next month, too.
Absolutely, and I'd love to, you know, follow up with people that are on the phone and presenting today and talk about next steps.
Okay.
Great. We have got a couple more comments and questions here. Let's see. All right. Go ahead, please.
Hi, my name is Sherry Anderson. Am I coming through okay?
You are.
Okay. So I'm Sherry Anderson. I am at Empower Tennessee, which is Middle Tennessee Center for Independent Living. And we have several programs, but our main program serves seven counties. And I'm an IL specialist, community engagement, that kind of thing. And so we currently are not doing any home and community-based services, nor are we equipped at this time to do housing of any kind. But I'm really, really fascinated with our last presenter in Michigan, I think you said, and how you get something like that off the ground. I know you said partnering with the VA. Would that be for funding or training of IL staff, or how would that work is I guess my question.
Our grant is through the Veterans Administration. They put out an RFP about 3.5 years ago, and we just simply applied. The funding is referred to as SSVF, which stands for Supportive Services for Veterans Families. If you can Google, if you Google that, there's a whole history. We apply annually for grant renewal, and as I indicated earlier, we've been awarded the grant for 3 consecutive years, and we're looking to get funding for our 4th consecutive year. And that is essentially how it started. Prior to us receiving the SSVF funds, periodically we would receive authorizations from the VA to provide life skills training, but nothing of this magnitude that we're doing now. But that's essentially how it started.
Thank you so much.
Great.
Welcome.
Thank you. All right. We've got a couple more comments or questions. All right. Go ahead, please.
Hello, this is Jennifer Morgan. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, great. I wanted to share a little bit about the project that we are doing out of Utah. Through our Utah ADRC, which we have area agencies on aging and Centers for Independent Living, through our ADRC office, we partnered with the VA Office of Rural Health to receive funding for our sites to help support staff to attend VA benefits training, to expand their knowledge, and build partnerships with the VA. So we started this in 2013, and we are now in our third year. And it really, it's been quite successful in Utah. We basically have a designated staff person at each of our agencies that is a designated veteran benefits specialist, and they have anywhere from 80 to 150 hours of VA benefits training. So they truly are experts in the field, and are able to counsel veteran clients on all options, including veteran benefits. So we were received well with our local VA, with the healthcare system, the benefit system, and helping. Basically, we would introduce ourselves and coordinate training and ask if they would have somebody that could provide training on key programs. And they were very willing and able to do that. In that process of having multiple trainings over time, it really built the partnership between agencies. And I would also encourage all states to get to know their state department of veteran affairs. Every state has one, and they have been one of our strongest partners in actually working out in the field, and sometimes we have our designated staff as well as the State Department. They work closely with veterans to help fill the gaps in services. They'll do home visits. I mean, we've really developed a great partnership with that. And I think it's been has been very impactful for the Area Agencies on Aging, but also the Centers for Independent Living. So just that's a super brief overview of what we're doing. We were selected as a project through Office of Rural Health to disseminate nationally. And so we are looking at looking for sites that are interested in expanding their knowledge and building partnerships with their local VA. So that's where we are in Utah. If anybody's interested in learning more about our program, it's called Cover to Cover, connecting older veterans, especially rural, to community or veteran-eligible resources. And though it is a rural health project, we do cover urban areas as well as rural and highly rural. So thank you.
Jennifer. This is Sarah. I just wonder if we were lucky enough at our last subcommittee call to have some visitors from ACL on the call and talk a little bit about the connection with the ADRC out there, and I wonder if there's anyone on the call from ACL that wanted to share a little bit about the work going on there.
And so if there is, if you could just push *2 and raise your hand, and we can get you on the line. And while they're doing that, perhaps we can go. We have one more comment while we're waiting for somebody from ACL to maybe press *2. So go ahead, please.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. This is Lisa Bonney. I'm calling from the Nevada Center for Independent Living. I'm the executive director here. Oh,
go ahead.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. My question is very simple. I'm just wondering, is there a key job or staff person we should be asking for when we try to make contact with our local VA systems? We've been trying and trying, and it seems like we're not going in the right door.
That's a great question. I wonder if anybody on the call has a response.
Well, this is Jennifer. Go ahead, Sharon.
Where we started with, we have a local VA in the county, and we actually started with the outreach coordinator because at the time when we were getting our grant off the ground, the executive director position for the local VA was vacant. So we started doing outreach and making referrals with an outreach coordinator or either a benefit specialist. Because a lot of times I would receive veterans who were newly discharged from the Army and had no idea where to go. So we just kind of developed a relationship with the staff. And then once the executive director came on board, we quickly recruited him to be part of our, we also have a veteran task force that meets every 2 weeks. And we actually go over what we call a by-name list of all the veterans in the county that we are aware of that are in need of housing. And then that way, there's like a reciprocal relationship, and we make referrals back and forth and provide the service as needed for the veterans. So that's essentially how we began to work with our local VA.
And that's not going to ever more. Sorry, I just wanted to chime in, especially to Nevada. On our Cover to Cover project, we actually are disseminating through the State Unit on Aging in Nevada, but I have a very close relationship with the Nevada Department of Veteran Services. And I would highly recommend you to call them because they are eager to build community partners and willing to do trainings. And if you'd like me to connect to or talk to you more offline, but they are a great resource in Nevada.
I would sincerely appreciate the help. Yes. And if we could speak offline, that would be tremendous. I'm in the office that's located in Northern Nevada in Sparks. So
great.
The NNCIL.
And that's exactly where they were. I was there in December visiting. So,
Fantastic. We'll get you connected. Wonderful. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Sweet! Jennifer Morgan, meet Lisa Bonney. This thing's working.
Awesome. Well, and again, so if you have questions or comments, or if somebody from ACL would like to speak, if you could press star 2 and raise your hand. And after your question has been answered, if you could press star 2 in order to lower your hand, I appreciate it.
Mary, if we're waiting for folks to chime in, one question that I think I'd love to hear some responses on are, you know, we put forward the data from the surveys, but are there things that weren't mentioned that you think that our subcommittee should really be digging into in the coming year, some advocacy issues through Congress, those sort of things? We'd love to hear from folks on that as well.
And again, you press star 2 and raise your hand, or folks in the closed captioning, you can just type your questions in and we'll voice those for you. We don't seem to have any at this time, and so I don't know if you
sure.
This is a good spot, if you wanted to move forward, and we can take questions as they come.
Yeah. So some of the things that we also wanted to just talk about briefly are some of the resources that are out there, and have some more of a dialogue about resources that you guys know about as well. One of the respondents on the survey talked about being a veteran service officer and helping folks through peer support around filling out paperwork and helping them get connected to benefits. And so there's the National Association of County Veteran Service Officers, and there's a website. And we'll again, these website links will all be posted. Mary will help us get that to you. I just wanted to kind of say out some of the names of the places so that you could start your research or connection. So some centers have found some help around that. And I just wanted to draw attention to there's a peer support group called Dry Hooch, and it's dryhooch.org that you can look up and connect to and see what some of the other states are doing around peer support. And then just wanted to draw your attention to the NICL website. We have our legislative and advocacy booklet out. It's the spring 2016 edition, and you can connect to that and look at some of the policy and priority work that we'll be doing on the committee as well.
Great. Thank you, Sarah. We do have one more comment, if this is an okay time.
That'd be great.
This is Ed Kennedy from Spokane, Washington. Hi, this is Ed Kennedy from Spokane, Washington.
Go ahead, Ed.
And my question is, I just met with a vet yesterday. His injuries, okay, he was diagnosed while in the service with some mental health issues. He was honorably discharged, but then he had a car accident afterwards. And so it gets into questions of being service-related injuries versus non-service-related injuries. And it gets really confusing. And what are the differences between, you know, who do I talk to about what services this person is eligible for? Since, I mean, he was only in the service for like 8 months. And I don't know what services he is eligible for.
Mark, do you hear? I see your hand is raised, Sherry. I don't know if you had an answer, but.
There are a couple of programs that he's eligible for. He should be eligible for some service-connected benefits, but you can also start with the Social Security Administration, because what they'll do when he applies is they'll, on the medical services report that application generates, when the research is conducted, will differentiate, they'll have the medical practitioners provide documentation that will support the injuries that he sustained before, during, and perhaps after his connection with the Army.
what's really unique about the Veterans Administration is that veterans can apply and receive Social Security disability benefits and veteran service-related disability benefits at the same time. That's not true for civilians, but based on the scenario that you've presented, it sounds like to me he may be eligible to receive both. But I would start with the Social Security Administration and have someone complete that SSDI, Social Security Disability application, and there's another one, just Social Security Income application, and see what that generates. But it sounds like to me he may be eligible for both.
Apparently he has applied, like he's been through two denials and is up for reconsideration once again. And so I don't know what his attorney is doing to, apparently he believes his attorney is not considering anything about the service letting him out, you know, having him discharged for mental health issues. So I just need to do some more research.
I would also take a look at his discharge records, and you can also request extensive medical records from the VA, but now I am seeing on the discharge records that they actually will have the disability listed. And if you look up, sometimes they'll even tell you if he sustained the injury during his time in the service. The other thing he may want to consider, if he's receiving that many denials, he may want to consider seeking, you know, another legal expert's opinion.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Great. So again, if anybody else has comments or questions, you can press star 2 to raise your hand, and we'll answer those. But I'm seeing none at this time. Sarah Mark.
Yeah, this is Sarah. I guess I just wanted to list off one more resource for folks to check out, which is Black Veterans of America. You know, we hear that, and we know that people of color often experience additional barriers when accessing the different systems, and that's another organization that people could check out and is on our resource list as well. We had left a lot of time for just regular conversation, so I don't have anything else, Mark. I don't know if you have anything else that you wanted to add.
Well, I was glad that you touched on the legislative and advocacy priorities booklet that's available on the NICOL website. And in the latest version, which is due to be hot off the presses any day now as we're preparing for the Hill, there is a section that we've devoted to veterans issues. Please feel free to go to the NICOL website and look at those. That's another thing that the subcommittee works on is legislative issues. There's factors affecting the daily lives of families and veterans that require needed services to be available in the communities where they live. And one way to advocate for legislation that affects those services is through our efforts in Washington at our annual conference and through April's efforts as they concentrate on advocating at the legislative level. There's several bills in the 114th Congress that NICOL is urging swift action on. They include the Quicker Veterans Benefits Delivery Act, which should establish workable solutions for maximizing the use of private medical evidence that conserve VA resources and allowing the VA the authority to award benefits. Disabled Veterans Access to Medical Exams Improvement Act, the Access to Veterans Benefits Improvement Act, Military Reserve Jobs Act are a few of the pieces of legislature that the Congress is looking at or have been introduced that Nickel is following, as well as the Blue Water Navy Vietnam Veterans Act and protecting children of veterans who gave up so much for our country through the Children's Care Protection Act as well. So there's several pieces of legislation. If any of you on the call are leaning towards policy as part of your passion, we call that wonks. I love you all, and please be involved in the subcommittee. I'd invite everybody on the call to get involved. Sarah's doing an awesome job taking the lead on the subcommittee. We're going to be appointing a new subcommittee co-chair following the annual conference in July for Nickel. It's up and running and growing, and we're looking for folks' involvement. We're so happy to hear from the input that we've heard on this call. Thank you.
Great. And we do have one more question or comment.
This is Tony DeLisle again from Center for Independent Living, North Central Florida. Couple comments. One of the things that I found in collaborating with people from the VA that they think is necessary for Centers for Independent Living to do if they want to work with veterans is to make sure that we have a really good database in place that, identifies if veterans are coming through our center. Like your survey said, it sounded like around about half of our centers are tracking if the consumers we have are veterans. Perhaps we need to really encourage everybody to track. We could come up with some kind of unified database sharing system where that could start to be tracked, as well as what programs are they using and what are the outcomes of those programs that they're using. Did it benefit them? Did it improve their independent living skills or quality of life or whatever it is that we would want to measure? One of the things and barriers towards collaboration with the VA, they want to know, do centers of independent living really promote independent living? And when we review the literature and when we review any kind of evidence-based information regarding this, it's very sparse. And right now, I don't see an infrastructure in place right now that has a data collection system that might be able to capture that, some of that information, and to really assess if that's out there. I see that one being a very critical part of the infrastructure if we're serious about collaborating with the VA that we would need to have in place. Because, you know, and my other comment would be, and it would dovetail into this, is that if what's going on with the VA right now, many of you already might know about their Blueprint for Success and the mm-hmm. principles that are behind it, very veteran-centric. The VA Choices Act, which could potentially be an area where SILS could get contractual work with the VA to provide that funding to hire specialists within our SILS to work with veterans. So if we can start tracking data and collecting it in a way, I think that would make us very viable to really dovetail into these initiatives, the VA Blueprint for Success and the VA Choices that's coming down the line to position ourselves in a really great way. I don't know if that's something that the subcommittee is already trying to tackle, and I would love to be a part of the subcommittee. I don't know how to get involved with that subcommittee, so any information that you would have regarding that would be very useful on my end. Thank you for my comments and last ending question there.
Great. Thanks,
sure.
Tony.
This is Mark. I have a couple of comments for Tony's comments. That was awesome. I would welcome your participation. I think when we're looking at, and we have in the past looked at VA proposing to, proposed that they provide IL services. And we said, wait a minute, you know, we're in the business of IL services. What are you talking about? And we've actually, you know, spent a lot of time on that and saying, they need to be sending, channeling folks who are reaching out to Centers for Independent Living for IL services. The other thing that I wanted to comment on, and so I totally agree with you, and I want to chase that and nail it down better. The other thing is, infusing the IL philosophy into the VA thinking instead of the, what exactly what you're talking about, the mentality, but there's systems change work there to be done as well, and infusing the IL philosophy into everything we do.
The other thing, Clark, and this is Sarah, yeah, I'm super excited about your comments too. I can tell everybody on the call how they can get connected to our subcommittee, and if you send me your contact information, I will give everyone my email address, and then hopefully we can get it out to the group as well, since it's a very long one. But it goes FLAUNDERVILLE, so that's S and then Launderville, which is my last name, at V as in Vermont, C-I-L, .org. So, and we'll hopefully get that out to the full group as well so that you don't have to remember all that. But if you just send your contact information and then we'll get you added to our list. And again, our next meeting is this coming Monday at 3 o'clock. And I'll send you out the agenda and all of our information. And that's 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
Great. Thank you. I'm just going to do one more call. If anybody has any questions for any of the folks that you've heard speaking, you know, you can press star 2 and raise your hand. And if not, while we're waiting, I'm just going to say again, I want to thank everybody for joining us. And if you can please remember to get on our website at www.april-rural.org and fill out our evaluation link. We love to hear feedback from you all. And along with that, again, the transcripts and the audio recording will be available there as well. So I'm going to do one more look over. But if we don't have any more questions or comments, do you have any other last words that you'd like to say, Mark and Sarah? Or Jennifer and Sharon as well?
Yeah, this is Sarah. I just want to say thank you so much to you, Mary, and to everyone at April and folks for inviting us to do this conversation today. I got a lot of really great feedback for next steps, and I'm super excited about any potential new members of the subcommittee as we push forward. So thank you.
Great. Any other final thoughts from Sharon or Jennifer?
Mary, I just want to say thank you to all of you for including me in on the conversation. I'm very excited, and I would look forward to some subcommittee opportunities as well.
And Jennifer, Jennifer, can you tell us just a little bit about, if folks are interested in learning more about the Cover to Cover program, how can they do that?
Right now the best way is just to contact me directly. We are hoping to find one of possibly April's conference to present at in October. But any specific questions, you can just direct it to me. My email, if you want to write it down or spread it out, is jen.morgan@utah.edu.
Great. Well, seeing no more questions or comments, I just want to thank all of our speakers and all of our conversation joiners, and I'm excited for the conversations to continue. So thanks again, and keep on a lookout for our next conversation, which is lined up in August.